Open your Bible to James chapter 4. And we're going to begin our teaching on faith in crisis, with a focus on faith in crisis turns to the wall. And I explain that in more detail about why I say it that way. You turn to the wall. But faith that overcomes in crisis taps into the grace of God. We started talking about that last time. We're going to continue in this area again. How important it is to tap into the grace of God. Here in James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he gives grace, more grace. Say more grace. More grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God gives us more grace. You see, that's the kind of God we serve. He's more than enough. You can't exhaust him. Grace is favor. Grace is already provided for you when you receive Christ. And he's more than enough for you, my friend. He comes through for you. But God gives us more. Why? When you need more. You need God to do more in your life. Need God to come through in a special way in your life? That's what we're talking about. And right now, people need God during this pandemic crisis in the world, in America, in our cities. We need God to show up in a big way. And we have to tap in through faith into his grace. It says here again in verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, this is important because I'm going to talk about further about how important it is to be humble. And God resists the proud. People are having a lot of trouble in their lives. My question, not to judge, just to ask you to ask yourself, are you running to God? Have you humbled yourself before God, asking God for help? Just think about it. See, sometimes when we're in trouble, we look for a way to get out on our own. Okay, what do I do? How do I hustle? You know, I get that. If God speaks to you about something, act upon it. But my friend, oftentimes we don't know what to do. And so what happens, we just do something because it is convenient or we see it on TV or somebody else is doing it. But is it God leading you? And first of all, have you humbled yourself before God to get his direction? In some cases, to get his correction. Yeah. To get his correction. It doesn't mean that you're an overt sin, you're a bad person, but sometimes it's some adjustments in our lives. And to get that, you have to humble yourself before God. Notice what he says here in verse 6, in James chapter 4, verse 6. It says, he gives grace, he gives more grace, more grace. I love it. Because you may feel like you don't have enough. God has more than enough, but he gives more grace. But who does he give it to? He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So if we act like we got it together, I know the word, but you won't humble yourself before God for clarity, for confirmation, for better understanding. Ask God, show me my heart. If there's any sin in my life, Lord God, that's humbling yourself before him. Don't assume you got it all together. When stuff is really bad, I would just clean the slate. God, help me. Show me, Lord God. My family's at stake. My future's at stake, Lord God. My life is at stake. And my family needs me. My friends need me, Lord God. Humble yourself. But if you're too proud to do that, he resists you. Yeah. And guess what? You won't get the more grace you need. We talk about faith in crisis turns to the wall. You get the turn to the wall piece in a moment. While God promises to give us more grace, he gives it to the humble, not the proud. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it reads, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He won't skip, he'll flee. One translation says, he'll flee with terror. Notice what he says. Submit yourself to God, to his will, his instructions, even his rhema word, his individual instruction for you, for your specific course of life in this week, this month, this year, or right now. You submit yourself to God, He says to you, resist the devil and the devil will flee from you. That's a powerful word. Well, but my problems aren't all the devil. They may not be all the devil, but he may be amplifying it for you. And you need to resist him in your life or over your child or someone's being afflicted in their body. Resist the devil. Resist the evil thoughts of the devil. The Bible says, cast down thoughts that exalt itself against the knowledge or the truth of God. We have to say, I'm not going to think that. I'm not going to believe what they're saying on TV that it's going to be worse. It's going to be bad for everybody in America. No, I'm not believing that. I resist that thought. My wife and I do that on a regular basis. We watch television like you watch television. Some things we just, nope, that's not going to happen to us. Not in our house, not in our family, not in our ministry. That's not what we believe. I'm not accepting that. I resist those thoughts. When you start embracing those thoughts, you're literally embracing the ideas and the spirit of the devil. Yeah, the spirit of the devil. See, because our words have a spirit nature. Jesus says, He spoke the word and cast out spirits. Yeah. When you begin to agree with God, those evil spirits will leave you and stop tormenting you. And you stop thinking about it and think on what God promises you. We're talking about faith in crisis turns to the wall. Faith in crisis will require us to humble ourselves and turn to the wall. Let's go and look at this particular example about in Isaiah chapter 38. We're going to talk about Hezekiah. He was the ruler of Judah. He's king. And he had a challenge. You may not be king, but you're head of your household. Maybe you're single. You live by yourself. You have your responsibilities. You're the person that has the final say about what happens with your money, what you do in your life. You're the king. You're the queen. It says here that in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. A lot of people are sick and near death. Please listen to me. This is not an indictment. This is a solution to get and overcome the crisis that we deal with. And how you can encourage others that you may know and loved ones, people you work with, help them overcome the crisis. Unless they follow the biblical pattern, they won't get the biblical results. I'll say it again. Unless we follow the biblical pattern, we won't experience the biblical results. Yeah. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Oh, wow. That's a hard word. God says, he sent a prophet to Hezekiah's house. He's sick, probably in the bed. And he'll sit in his chair, his king chair, sick, about to die, feeling like he's about to die. Prophet said, get your house in order. You about to die, boy. I'll put the boy part in there. But listen to me. Now, first of all, God is not causing that man to die. He don't want him to die. No. Circumstances happen. That's why God would have us, gives us a free will. And our free will is to be informed by the word of God, and we need to act on the word of God. And part of it is just the devil, but we're also going to see it in a moment. We need to be humble ourselves and get the help of God. You know, when you're desperate, when your back is against the wall, you need to turn to the wall. Yeah. I'll say it again. When you're desperate and your back against the wall, you need to turn to the wall and seek God. And that is humbling yourself. Not who you can borrow money from. No, no. Humble yourself right now and get God's help, God's grace in your life, God's favor. God opens doors and closes the right ones. You need God's help, my friend. Unless we humble ourselves. And sometimes there's things in the way, like unforgiveness with people. You know, people living together and having a little challenge. You need to forgive folk. Forgive them. And then if you go, you talk out of turn, you say something, do something inappropriate, ask God to forgive you. Yeah, that's humbling yourself. My friend, now in this crisis, you don't want nothing in the way between you and God. Please listen to me. You don't want nothing in the way between you and God. That's why we need to humble ourselves. Make sure our life is good. Make sure our heart is good. Don't assume you got it all together. When you're in a crisis, things are falling apart, don't look good. Yes, we have to humble ourselves. And we're going to show in a moment how God can turn that very bad. The man is about to die. He turns it around because he humbled himself. And he got more grace. Yeah, he got more grace. Yes. Sometimes that's the problem. You know, we're smart. We got degrees. We got a hookup. You know, we have a track record. I get that. But right now, the devil's running loose. And guess what? You need help. There's always a time we need to recognize that God is always better than our own ways. Bible says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Our natural ways are not as high as God, not as insightful. We need to humble ourselves and seek God's wisdom and God's word in any specific situation, what to do in crisis. Yeah, you're in crisis. We're all dealing with crisis. Church is too. But we seek God. We were here at late night prayer this past Friday together. Hundreds were online watching with us. It's powerful. Seeking God, praying his word, but seeking God's will be done in our lives. Not assuming that we got it all together. We want God's will to be done. And we experience his grace because of it. And many of our in our church experience his grace because of it. In spite of situations happening, they end up on top, moving forward, because they experience God's grace. And I want you, whoever's watching, and need more of God's grace, humble yourself and seek God. Okay, let's look at this further. It says, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Now, God was not killing the man. No. The thief comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I come that you may have life. God is not in the killing business, my friend. The devil is. And when our life is not quite at the par where God would have us to be, right at the will of God, God backs off and the devil has his way. Yeah, that's why humbling ourselves before God is important. Verse 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord. That's why I get to turn to the wall piece. He turned his face. See, his back, if you would, his life was against the wall. But he turned his face toward God and toward the wall. Wow. Father, I need you. Lord, I don't know what to do. I need you to show up right now, Lord God. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, Lord God, I worship you. Oh, Lord God. That's the behavior of it. And let it come out of your heart. So be out in your natural words. Doesn't say what I said. I'm giving an illustration. But whatever you need to do, acknowledge God as great and wonderful, your source, like that grandfather we talked about earlier, yeah, who's wealthy, wealthiest man in the world, and grandfather, the most influential man in the world, want to help you. If you see God properly, when you humble yourself, he follows suit because you're his child. You belong to him. He turned to the wall. Say, he turned to the wall. He turned to the wall. You see, Hezekiah turned to the wall when he realized God was reaching out to him. Sometimes we settle. This is important. Sometimes we settle because we're going through problems and we kind of let it kind of unravel. But then God sends up someone like myself. I'm ministering along these lines and you're in difficult times. And all of a sudden, God's reaching out to me. Or God speaks to you, or through a scripture. God's reaching out to you. Now he has some hope. Yeah. Because God sent Hezekiah, get your house in order, get your will together, find out who's going to take your spot as king, you know, take care of your family, you're going to die. But he didn't want to die. But he didn't do that. He didn't turn to the wall until after Hezekiah told him, you're about to die, boy. He knew he was about to die. But he wasn't doing nothing about it. Yes, 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 yes. Sometimes we know we're about to lose everything. We're frozen. It's like, what do I do? And you're a child of God. Turn to the wall. Turn to the wall, my friend. Humble yourself and turn to the wall. That may require some time to get a place, go to the park, or get a room in your house, and whatever you may need to do. Maybe do it in a crowd because you can't go in the world. You need it right now. Maybe you're in the hospital right now watching me. Yes, turn to the wall, right there in your hospital room, in your hospital bed. If you can talk, say, Lord. If you can't talk, think it, bless God. Yes, I need you, Lord. He's that gracious. He knows your situation. And also think about this, that Hezekiah did not get offended when Isaiah came and said, get your house in order, you're going to die. You can't get offended at God or the messenger. Can't get offended at me. I'm talking like this. You ought to be happy. God, thank you for this word from Bishop Ed. I'm going to turn to the wall now. I'm going to cry out for your mercy and grace in my life. This is important. Sometimes we get mad at the messenger and mad at God. How come God let me go through this? See, it's the wrong thing to say. You mean all your decisions have been so perfect over your life? You have no contribution to where you are today? How you're able to weather the storm? How you manage your money? The decisions you made? You have no contribution to this? No, no, no. Can't blame God for all that, my friend. So rather than blame even yourself, just say, God, I humble myself, Lord God. Help me, Lord God. And notice what he did in verse 3. He went to God and said, remember me, O Lord. Pray. I pray how I have walked before you. This is important, powerful. I walk before you in truth and with and you hear me and with a loyal heart and have done what a good, let me make sure I get my, put my glasses on. Okay, verse 3. And said, remember now, O Lord, I pray how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Say, wept bitterly. Now, this is the king. Now, he may have cried before. I don't know. He probably had. Most people do, even in private. But he was crying now. He was crying now. Brothers, I'm talking to you now. Head of your house or just single man, you got responsibilities, maybe a child, whatever. Humble yourself before God. If you end up crying, so be it. Can't be ashamed to open up, you need help. That's why some men struggle. It's the pride. They want to humble. They won't say, I don't have enough. Don't make enough money. It's hard. My kids, you know, they need help. It's hard. I can't be the kind of provider that I want. God can help you. You may not have a degree. It's okay. God is your degree, my friend. He's your God. God. But you have to humble yourself and let God come through for you rather than look at your own abilities only. No, he is your source. He's that grandfather that loves you, as the illustration I gave earlier. Yes, 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 yes. Just go on. So powerful. Hezekiah cried out for God's help. He cried out for God's help. Are you willing to cry out where your kids in the next room may hear you? You're so focused on getting the help of God, you don't care who hears you. Sometimes we're not willing to cry out to God. You know, your wife need to hear you, brother, and your children need to hear you cry out to God sometimes. As you're a man of prayer, and that when you're in trouble, God, Lord God, help me. Especially at a case like this, he's about to die. Yeah, he's about to be on the street. Maybe he's on the street and it's about to get worse. Lord, help me. Yeah, yeah. Bounce from house to house, trying to be with friends and family. I understand. I'm trying to want to share with you God's way, using your faith in this wonderful God that we serve. In crisis, turn to the wall. But to do that, you got to humble yourself. And then more grace comes into your life. Or things start happening. God starts speaking to people, opening doors, the help that you need. God is not limited by what's going on in this world and in America. His hands are not tied. He's waiting for us to come to him boldly, but yet humbly. Yeah. You can tell that Hezekiah was bold. He started weeping, crying. He was bold about it. Look at verse 4. Now he's praying to God. By the way, he's acknowledging to God. This is important because he's reminding God as if God didn't know, but it's appropriate to do that. God, I'm a tither. Lord God, I'm a giver. I serve in the ministry, Lord God. I've been faithful to you, Lord. The Bible says, put me in remembrance. So remind God, not that he need to be reminded, we need to be reminded that you've been doing pretty good in your life. You haven't been a bad person, but you're going through a difficult time. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I recall when I was back in the early 80s, I was a part owner in a computer company. We started a computer company, me and some friends. And I was a part owner. I was a vice president. And make a long story short, we owned a computer store in Torrance. We had a software company develop software for banks and savings and loans in California and also in other states like New Mexico. And we were doing rather well. Then all of a sudden, things started dropping, the market changed, and computer industry began to change a bit, and we ended up not doing well. And it's a little struggle, a little tension in our relationship with the president of the company, and he fired me. I could have fought it, but I decided, you know what, I'm not going to fight it. Just walked away. Left everything I made and had on the table. Just walked away. He was a believer. I just chose not to do that. And I didn't have a job. And I recall pacing. We were living in Linwood at the time. I was my wife and my children. And I'm outside around 5:30 in the evening. No job. Got fired. No insight about money. How I may come in. He didn't give me no severance pay. It's it. You're out of here. And I began to pace in front of my garage. I began to say, Lord, I'm a tither. First of all, I humble myself. Yeah. And he said in my life, forgive me, Lord God. And then I began to remind God, I've been a tither. I've been faithful serving him, driving to our service church multiple times a week for service and also meetings. And as a leader, I was on the board. I was an elder. And guess what? God came through. I had 5 job offers, my friend, making more money than I ever made in my life, significantly much more. And it didn't take weeks. It happened about a week and a half. Yeah. Didn't take a long time. Maintained the house. It was the best job at that time that I ever had in my life. Don't tell me God's not good. And I've been a tither. So I reminded him. You see, I recall the late Oral Roberts. Please listen to me. I'm still on the same topic about turning to the wall. He was involved in a major outreach in Europe somewhere, and somehow it didn't go well because people didn't like him, and the city kind of went against him, and he invested a lot of money with equipment and his planning team and so forth. Make a long story short, he had to back out, and he left a lot of money on the table, and it was a major financial hit to his ministry, a major one. And he was kind of challenged by it, and he didn't have a lot of money right then, and God says, you got some seed in the ground, don't you? You've been a tither and a giver. You got a lot of seed in the ground. Begin to declare your harvest show up in your life. Powerful. And he began to do that. See, he sought God. God, Lord, what should I do? And God gave him a word. You got seed already in the ground. Yeah, 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 yeah. You've been a giver. Call on the harvest. It's harvest time. And that's what God did. God started sending people to him to give extra money toward the ministry. It was powerful. Yeah, rather than be mad, you called me to do this. Ooh, I'm trying to obey you, Lord God. I can't believe you let this happen to me. Call on your harvest. You've been faithful, been doing right. It's harvest time. Say it's harvest time. Say it's harvest time. And look for the harvest. Yeah, 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 yes. Because you reap what you sow. Now, if you haven't been sowing, have not been a tither, don't beat yourself up. Start the day. Start the day and cry for God's mercy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cry for God's mercy and the good you've been doing for God and for the kingdom. Talk about that and say, God, I'm going to do better. I'm going to obey you now and put some seed in the ground. You can't reap what you don't sow. Come on. You can't reap what you don't sow. You want roses in the backyard. You got to plant some roses, my friend. You know that. How can we get stupid regarding God? No, you can't think that way. That's the devil deceiving us. Yes. No, 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 no. We're smart. We follow God's way of doing things. This is how we use our faith in crisis. I know I'm a little challenged, you know, how I'm talking to you, but I want to get your attention. I love you. I'm going to tell you the truth, be honest with you. I'm not making up some stuff for you. I'm giving you the word of God and real examples in my life and others' lives that if God is not a man that he should lie. He confirms his word. He's looking for somebody to trust him. so he can show up in their lives. The Bible says God's eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is made ready to follow him. I believe you're ready now. If you've been ready before, even more ready now. Even more ready. Say, I'm more ready. Say, I'm more ready. Yeah. Let's go on. Verse 5. He said, go tell. He's talking to Isaiah. God's talking to Isaiah. Go tell. Now, Isaiah, if you read another account in 2 Kings, he's walking through the court. He haven't got out the king's court yet. And God gave him a word. This is powerful. When Hezekiah turned to the wall, it didn't take all day. It didn't take all day. God was waiting for that boy to humble himself. He's big king. I've got the big job. I've got the corner office. Humble yourself. I made 6 figures. Used to. Humble yourself. Yeah. Humble yourself and cry out to God and turn to the wall. And God is ready to respond, and he responded quickly. Go tell Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord God, the God of David, your father. I have heard your prayer, but also I have seen your tears. Oh, you're serious about this. When a king's crying for help, you know he's serious. Yeah. When the dad's crying for help, you know he's serious. When mama's crying for help, you know she's serious. Are you following me? Surely I will add. I love this piece. That's the kind of God we serve. He didn't say you'll live. I'm going to add to you. I will add to your days, 15 years. Wow. 15 years. You know what? He lived longer than most of the other kings because he humbled himself. Yeah. See, you may have a 6-month sentence from the doctor on cancer, 4-month sentence. It's terminal. We got to, we can't do nothing right now. You may die any day. Send him to hospice. Turn to the wall. Cry out to God. Don't let it be inevitable. That's the way Hezekiah was kind of acting at first until God sent a messenger to him and said, get your house in order. And I got his attention. God sent you to me? Oh, let me cry out to him now. God has me on his mind. Oh, yes. While you listen to me right now, God has you on his mind. No matter what you're going through, God has you tune in and have me speak this word to you because God has you on his mind. Yes. And he wants to turn your situation around for the better. But it requires you to humble yourself before God. Turn to him, to the wall. Yeah. Not have your back against the wall. Turn to the wall. That's symbolic where God is, facing him. When you turn in a literal wall like the wall behind me, you don't see the people. You just see the wall. God wants you to see him. Your hope, all possibilities, your strength is in him. In him we live and move and have our being. And as you do that and turn to the wall, my friend, oh, God comes through for you. Let's go on. We're almost there. By the way, I'm going to minister healing to you in a moment. I'm almost finished. After giving an opportunity to respond to receive Christ, but also minister healing in a moment. So don't leave unless you just have to. I want you to receive healing because I believe people are sick. You know people are sick with the virus and all the different things going on and the stuff that's beyond the virus. Just people have other challenges. Verse 5, go and tell Hezekiah, thus said the Lord, the God of David, your father. And the King James says, the God of your fathers. This is huge. Some people, maybe not you, maybe some of you, I'll just say this, have left the God of your fathers. You're raised Christian. You're dabbling in this and dabbling in that. You left the God of your fathers. God is telling you, he's telling Hezekiah, I'm the God of your father. The only wise God, the only true God, the only living God. Get back to that God. Don't turn to the wall of some God that can't help you. Cut that stuff out. And get into the word of God. It's a Christian God. His son is Christ, Jesus. That God we're talking about. The God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. Now, Hezekiah most likely wasn't praying to God about his sickness. He may have accepted inevitable, like I said earlier. Look at verse 6. And I will deliver you. I love this. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Now, he's the king. But guess what? You're the head of your household. So God will deliver you and all your household and everybody around you when you begin to get in line with God. Yeah. And notice the enemy. The enemy. Well, coronavirus is an enemy. It's a demon, my friend. And demons working with that lead demon. There are different ranks of demons, Bible talks about. Wicked spirits in heavenly places, plural. Yes. We can't be afraid of it. We need to act upon it and let God protect us and fill in the gaps in our lives. We do what we know to do, but then the stuff we don't know to do, that's when God shows up because you turn to the wall because he has your back. Say, God has my back. Say, God has my back. Yeah, he fills in the gaps. When you think you know it all, and it's easy if you're not careful in America, you see it on television, the movies are like that. They have the answer for everything, making long money. All those guys living the life, you know what? And they have a nice ending. That's television. That's movie. That's not real. Yeah, yeah. They don't always end that way. Yes. In fact, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine recently and about people that are dying, and his doctor has been practicing for many, many years, and he says it's very common for an atheist when they're in the hospital they're about to die that they ask a doctor, can they talk to a chaplain? Now, this particular doctor, he's them leading them to Christ. It's powerful. Think about it. Been an atheist all these years. Now he's about to die, and he goes and he cries out for help. I get it. But oftentimes they also say this. Don't tell my family that I went to God. You know what? That don't make no sense. That's how pride gets in. Oh, God, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and stick with the book, the Bible, the God of your fathers, and your mother, and grandmom, and granddad. Now, everyone on earth is being humbled in some way by this global pandemic crisis. Everybody's been humbled. The churches, Zoe, we have to adjust stuff. We recognize, you know, we need to get clarity about how God wants us to move forward and seek him about things and don't just make changes on the fly. Let's seek God and get agreement and so forth. The question we must ask ourselves, will you humble yourself before God and turn to the wall? Because everybody's being humbled. Everybody's being challenged. Will you humble yourself or let the circumstances of life humble you? I'll say it again. Will you humble yourself before God or allow the circumstances of life when you lost so much? Then you may come and be humble to God. That's good. But if you would have did it earlier, so you do it now. Yeah. You got a good title. You have done well, got degrees. Wonderful. We're proud of you. But that's not your source. That's not your source. And it's tough. Maybe you're doing well. Money, in fact, maybe making more money right now during the pandemic. Great. Don't let it go to your head, my friend. That's the grace of God. Still humble yourself and thank God for what he's done in your life. The humble life is the way to getting more grace. You know, your company gets bought out, gets a new boss, new president. They fire you, sell the division. You know what? All that is possible when you're doing well because you don't have control of all that. All you can do is look to God, and God can help you navigate. But you keep your confidence in him, but that requires humbling yourself before him. Yes. It says here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you, and I say exalt you in due season. But I put also, he can restore you. Yeah. That he may exalt you and restore you. See, it's not just have a nice position and title, but restore you. That's part of the grace, my friend. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. That's what Hezekiah did. Lord, help me. I've been a good person. I've been doing all I know to do. Had not been perfect, but I've been trying my best, Lord God. I got some seed in the ground. The Bible says, put God in remembrance. And I'm sure he did it in a respectful way, and God honored it. And Hezekiah wasn't outside the court yet. Turned around and said, God says, I'm going to give you 50 more years to live. Wow. That's the kind of God we serve. But notice how it happened. He humbled himself. I want you to repeat this after me. Lord, I now humble myself and turn my face to seek you with all my heart. Let's say it again. Lord, I now humble myself and turn my face to seek you with all my heart. Say it again. Lord, I humble myself and turn my face to seek you with all my heart. If you mean that, my friend, if you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you had at an early age, maybe you have done it some years ago, maybe you did it a while ago, not too long ago, but you recognize now you need to recommit your life to Christ. Maybe you got strayed away, got distracted, whatever. It doesn't make you a bad person. You're still his child. We can be talking about it last time. Grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Turn to him. And his grace and provision and blessing will come into your life. And protection and healing in your life. So repeat after me to receive Christ. And as we pray and you acknowledge this, there's a blue bar and an orange bar in the bottom of the screen. Click it. Indicate you will receive Christ. And or recommit your life to him. And then you can click on, give us your information. We'll send an email to you. You can see a video and help you grow as a place to begin and move forward in your life. We want to minister to you, my friend. Not just have a nice, good sermon for you, but also help you grow further in God. Repeat after me. Dear Father God, I come to you just as I am. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ came to the earth and died on the cross for my sins. I believe he is now Lord and Savior. So I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for saving me and delivering me from my own sins. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you said that, or after you said that, just click on. Let's go ahead. Yeah, there's others. Go ahead. Please, welcome. I want to give you time to do this. Click on. Yes, that orange bar. Receive Christ. Yes, or recommit your life to Christ. Give you a moment to do that, because it's important that the prompting of the Holy Spirit is talking to you. Don't be embarrassed. Maybe the others in the room, do what you got to do, my friend. That's part of humbling yourself. That's part of humbling yourself. Maybe you're sharing a computer with someone else. Click on, I'm getting mine. I'm coming back to God. I'm getting saved today. I need God in my life. He's a good God. He's a good God. In a moment, I'm going to minister healing to you before we dismiss. Yes. Healing is here, my friend. Yes, healing is here. Yes, healing is here. The power of God is present to heal. The power of God is present to heal right where you are. The power of God is present to heal. God is here. He is where you are. Yes, yes. Healing is here. His healing power, his healing anointing is here. It's here. Yes. It's here to heal your body, to heal your heart, to heal your mind. Some people are confused and under pressure. It's real. I don't want to minimize that. But God can heal you. Yeah, you may need therapy. I understand. But right now, you got to get around. God can heal you right where you are. Yes. Like that man was oppressed by the devil. Jesus ministered to him. He was walking around in the cemetery naked. Crazy. Out of his mind. But the anointing destroyed the yoke. He was clothed, put clothes on, and in his right mind. Don't tell me God can't deliver you. That oppression. Yeah, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. That special anointing went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You being oppressed, my friend, and depressed? Open yourself up to God. Turn to the wall right now. Lift up your hand. Lift up your voice. God, I come to you. I need you, Lord God. Heal me, Lord God. Yes, yes. Healing is here. Healing is here. Yeah, we receive it, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. Freedom is here. Your freedom, Lord God. Freedom to think straight. Freedom to sleep well. Yeah. Freedom to have a good outlook. Freedom to be about my Father's business. Freedom is here. Think about people God may be bringing to your heart right now about you may need to forgive. Say, Lord, I forgive that person. I mentioned her name. I forgive that person. Why? Because sometimes that's the hindrance. It's not godly to hold forgiveness in heart. So I want to encourage you. Yeah, we look to you, Lord God. My rock, my healer. Trust in you, Lord God. Yes. Yes, reach my hand to the heavens. My help comes from you, Lord. Yes. My rock, my healer. I trust in you, Lord God. I commit my life to you, Lord God. I'm not looking to nobody else but you, Lord God. Let God minister. So I declare right now, be whole and healed now. Say, Lord, I believe I'm healed. I receive my healing. Say, I receive my healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And also say this, Lord, I receive my healing of my spirit, of my heart. Yes, the broken heart, disappointment, letdowns. I receive my healing of my spirit, my mind, my soul, and my body, and my finances. Oh, God can heal your finances, my friend. Oh, yes. Your finances can be sick, not working well, not working right. That's the kind of God we serve. Yes. Let God minister to you. Sickness can't stay any longer, my friend. Receive it in your heart, in your mind. Say it out of your mouth. Yes. Yes, God of all power. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Ministering healing to your people, even now. Ministering healing to your people right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord God. So while you're receiving the healing right now, my friend, as you wrap up, it's important that you accept it and walk in it. Now, you may be having some challenges in your body. You may say, maybe I get healed. No, don't look at that. You keep, go find scripture, like 1 Peter 2:24. At the end of that verse, it says, by whose stripes of Jesus, with feet on his back on the cross, by his stripes, you were healed. That's past tense. So you believe it's done, my friend, and act like it's so. Start saying, thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Let me close with this personal story and example as the music goes softly. I want to share with you that just this past week, I was impressed by the Holy Spirit to talk to a man about something about correcting in his own life. And he listened. Now, he was already at a place of deep, serious illness. He was scheduled to go have an operation, I think, either tomorrow, Monday, or Tuesday. I talked to him on Friday. And he was in pain, talking real soft. Good guy. I know him very well. But I was impressed to speak to him this word from God. I won't tell you what it's about, but I'm going to let you know what God did, because he turned to the wall. He heard me out. I gave him the exhortation. What God said, I said, he opened the door for the enemy by this happening in your life. He acknowledged it. He recognized it. And he said, thank you. He appreciated it. And he turned himself to the wall. And so, praise God, I got out the phone. He got out the phone. We, you know, expressed nice things to one another and went on. Then I found out that one of his close friends and relatives, he said, he's totally healed. He's totally healed. All the pain and all that caused it went away. He's totally healed. No need for an operation tomorrow, devil. He turned to the wall. See, God don't take all day when you turn to the wall. He knows whether you're really turning or just listen to a nice preacher preach. No, your heart's in it. Hezekiah, he wept bitterly, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God. Until you go there, some things won't get addressed in your life. How desperate are you? Yeah, gave me 15 more years. How many more years will God give you? How many more opportunities will God give you in your life, in your family, when you turn to the wall? So faith in a crisis requires grace, and the grace, the more grace, requires humbling yourself. And when you're in crisis, turn to the wall.